Hello, everyone. Welcome to another fantastic edition of the Cybersecurity Matters podcast. I'm your host, Dominic Vogel. Very different special today, in which my co-host, Christian, isn't in studio at all. He actually had a flat tire on the way to the recording studio. So it'll just be me on this episode. And I'm really excited with today's guest. I will be chatting with one of my dearest friends, Sharon Bauer. She's an awesome privacy professional based in Toronto, Canada. Really looking forward to having an epic conversation with her. So sit back. I'll be connecting with her shortly. Really hope you enjoy the conversation. Sharon, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy day to join me on the podcast today. Really looking forward to another awesome conversation.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
Now, you and I have known each other for quite some time. I was actually thinking about it this morning. I actually can't exactly remember how long. I'm not sure if it's COVID brain affecting me, but let's just say it's been a long time. And you know, having you on the podcast has been a long time coming. You know, I consider you a very dear and close friend, and I'm super, super excited to have a great conversation with you. And so one of the questions I just wanted to start off with, let's just refer to it even as a softball question. for so many of our viewers and listeners, they struggle with the basics when it comes to cybersecurity and privacy. For a typical small or mid-sized business owner, what does privacy mean, and why should they worry about it or care about it?
Yeah, I mean, that's such an important question, and there are so many reasons why they need to care. But first and foremost, privacy is a human right, right? Every individual, you, me, our customers, anyone, has the right to control information that is about us. So we get to decide what information we want to share with someone or with a company, and how that information is going to be used, and even how that information will be further shared with other parties. And so it is a basic human right. We all should have some form of control over the information that belongs to us. So that is why privacy is so important. However, small and medium-sized businesses should consider privacy because it's really a legal obligation, and they need to think about compliance. I mean, I hate to think about privacy as just a compliance thing, and it's certainly not just a compliance thing, but I would imagine that most companies think about privacy first and foremost because they want to comply with their law, with their legal obligation. So in order to do so, you need to become familiar with what your legal obligation is, and then you need to be able to demonstrate that you are in fact compliant with your legal obligations. The other reason why privacy is so important, aside from compliance, is because it really does become a competitive advantage. It really affects your reputation. So being able to demonstrate to your users that you're handling their data responsibly builds a trust between you and your users or your clients, your customers. And once you build that trust, they're willing to share more information with you. And trust is such a sacred thing. And once you lose it, it's very hard to gain it again. And so being able to demonstrate that not only to regulators or to the court, but to your users that you're handling their data responsibly, it will only enhance your business.
I love that. I love that, like, in that concept of trust. You know, I think to your point there, Sharon, trust is becoming more and more important, especially with increasingly more digitized organizations. That concept, even of digital trust, is going to start becoming a more common currency. And you know, somewhat on that theme, I know you deal with a lot of small and mid-sized organizations as well. And you know, on the cybersecurity front, what we're seeing, especially during COVID, is that approach of being more proactive about it seems to have disappeared. I'm going to say close to probably 99% of the clients that we've onboarded during COVID have been reactive, and reactive in the sense that they are dealing with ransomware or in the event of a massive cyber breach or what have you. Are you seeing privacy in that same lens? Or sorry, small mid-sized businesses seeing privacy in that same lens? Are they only acting reactively, maybe after a privacy breach, or is there some go between where they're going to try to be a bit more proactive?
You know what? That's a great question. And the truth is that I would say it's half-half. You have some businesses that are under the assumption that because they're small, that they're not going to be prone to a hack or to a privacy breach. And that's probably because what they hear in the news is mostly about the big companies who have been breached. And they say, well, you know, who's going to come after us? We're so small. What can they get from us? But unfortunately, that is so the opposite of what's happening. 43% of breaches involve small businesses. And the reason for that is because they're an easy target. They don't have the proper infrastructure. Privacy is not top of mind for them. And it's not part of their culture. So it's very easy for hackers to penetrate their systems. But it's also very easy for their own employees to inadvertently send information to the wrong person or disclose personal information that they otherwise should not have been disclosing. And that's just because there hasn't been that privacy culture embedded in the business. And the difference between the small businesses who are going to experience that breach versus a large one is that the small ones are going to be crippled if this happens to them because they don't have the same resources or revenue to bounce them right back up. It's interesting. I read somewhere that the average cost of a privacy breach for a small business is $2.5 million. That's a lot of money for a small business to handle. Now, having said that, what I am seeing, and maybe I'm seeing this because I'm a privacy professional and people are coming to me to handle their privacy matters, is there are small businesses that are thinking about privacy, and I love to see that, and especially the startups. The reason for that is a lot of the VCs are now inquiring about privacy postures before they invest because they don't want to inherit the risk. And we're also seeing a lot of small businesses wanting to launch outside of the Canadian jurisdiction and realizing that if they want to go to the EU, they must comply with the GDPR, which is extremely prescriptive. And in order to gain any clients there, their clients require them to be GDPR compliant. So small businesses are starting to think about privacy.
So if I'm a average business owner, you know, of a small or mid-sized organization, and I've come to the conclusion I need to invest in privacy, or I want to go along that privacy journey. Now, I know, not all organizations are equal when it comes to the data that they collect. So the privacy journey that they go on may be very different. But what's that first step? If someone says, I want to start on that privacy journey, but I don't know where to start or who to turn to, what would be your answer to that?
Yeah. You know, I have to say, I love that you use the term journey because privacy really is a journey. And for small businesses, it's going to have to be a phased approach because they might not have the resources to invest in privacy and get it all done and complete at once. And even if they did, privacy is not static, right? You can't just become right. compliant one day and remain compliant forever. It's one of those evolving compliance exercises that you're going to have to do, especially as our regulation evolves and new technology comes out. But to start off on your privacy journey, it's really important to understand who's going to be accountable for privacy within your organization, who's going to look for the privacy risks, and who's going to make sure that those risks are remediated. What I'm seeing is that a lot of small companies can't afford a chief privacy officer to be there full time. It's not possible. Right. And some of them don't actually need a full-time privacy officer because they're not experiencing privacy issues or they aren't collecting enough personal information to constitute a full-time privacy officer. So there are a few options for you. You can see if someone within your organization can take on that role in addition to the role that they already have. But that would involve that person learning privacy, understanding what a privacy risk is, and how to remediate those risks. Sometimes that's challenging when everyone is so busy doing their own job. The other option is to hire a virtual chief privacy officer. And that individual, that privacy expert, is going to be there for you on an ad hoc basis. As privacy issues arise, they'll help you deal with it. Or maybe they could take a more proactive approach and help to monitor and enforce privacy within your organization. So accountability, I would say, is probably the first thing that you need to understand. The second one is understanding the data. So what data are you collecting? Where are you collecting it from? Under what grounds do you have to collect that data? How are you using it? Who are you disclosing it to? Which systems have access to that data? Where does the data reside? How long are you retaining it for? When are you destructing it, or how are you destructing it? So understanding the entire life cycle of the data is so important. And so you're going to want to get a process map or a data inventory to really get a full picture of how you're dealing with the data. And that will really help you understand where your risks are. So that's something that I think is really important. The other one, there's so many, but the other one is your vendor due diligence. 33% of breaches are a result of a vendor breach. And it doesn't matter if you're breached. If you are the one giving them the information, you are the custodian. You are responsible for that information. So you are ultimately responsible if that data is breached, even though it wasn't your breach, it was the vendor's breach. So making sure that you have proper contracts with your vendors to make sure that they have appropriate privacy practices, security practices. What will happen in the event of a breach? How are they going to protect you? Those are all things that you should have in place, because that is a huge risk. The other one I'm going to mention briefly is retention. I see small businesses retaining data forever, indefinitely. While that might seem helpful to them because maybe one day they'll use that information, that becomes a huge risk to the organization. Fraudsters cannot get information that you do not have. The more you have, the more they can get, and therefore the greater risk it is to you.
Wow, I love how you lay that out there. And I think, you know, helping people understand that it can be actionable, you know, and breaking it down. And, you know, as we mentioned earlier, it's a journey. This isn't a matter of just upgrading to the latest version of Windows or something, buying a piece of technology and saying, okay, now we're all good from a privacy perspective. Very much has to be ingrained in the DNA and the fabric of the organization as the organization morphs and changes. And somewhat bring this back from a Canadian perspective. In terms of the Canadian privacy legislation, it's obviously very different than GDPR, which you mentioned earlier. You know, the privacy regulations in Europe, very different than they are here. Do you see a point where Canadian legislation, maybe to an extension in the US as well, maybe just broader North America, where our approach to privacy and the privacy legislation matches or becomes closer to the EU, or do you think we'll stay laggards in that space?
Yeah, I mean, I wish I had a crystal ball to give you an
answer. So do I.
But I mean, what I can tell you is what I'm hearing. And what I'm hearing is that PIPEDA needs to be reformed. And there are talks that it absolutely will be, probably in the near future, probably within the next year or so. So PIPEDA, which is our federal private sector regulation, has not been reformed in any significant way in a very long time. And in the views of many privacy professionals, it's quite outdated. And as you know, technology has changed. Our ability to collect and analyze data has significantly changed over the years and will continue to do so, but our law has remained static. And this is particularly obvious when you compare PIPEDA to the GDPR and as well as to the CCPA in California. We are starting to see provinces taking action to become more prescriptive, such as Quebec, which tabled Bill 64, an act to modernize legislative provisions. And we're also seeing a lot of similarities between the Quebec amendments to the GDPR. We're seeing like some similarities there. Recently, Ontario launched a consultation for new provincial private sector privacy legislation. So that's something definitely to look out for, because currently Ontario does not have a private sector privacy legislation. And as I mentioned before, we've heard that the Office of the Privacy Commissioner of Canada is looking to reform PIPEDA. Just yesterday or a couple days ago, we heard about a possible reform to include some AI provisions within our legislation. So there's definitely some talks in place, and it would not surprise me at all to see some revisions. Do I think it's going to be as prescriptive as GDPR? No, I think it's really important that we maintain a principled approach, because by taking a principled approach, we allow for some flexibility when emerging technology comes to the forefront, and we're able to revise or to interpret legislation in a more flexible way.
That's fascinating, you know, and I know with sort of like what we saw with Cadillac Fairview, you know, I think that just keeps bringing the privacy legislation to the forefront and the need to truly modernize it here in the country. So I always appreciate your insight, you know, even without a crystal ball. you know, I know we're coming to a close, but one of the things I'd love to ask you is what types of organizations should reach out to you, or if they need help with a certain topic or area, who are the best types of organizations to reach out to you? How can you help them, and how can they reach you?
Yeah, so I usually deal with small to medium businesses who are looking to improve their privacy posture because they're collecting personal information. Now, unfortunately, a lot of companies don't realize that they're collecting personal information because they don't know what personal information is. So personal information is not just name, address, phone number. It's IP, it's geolocation, it's health information, it's credit card information, it's HR records that you collect from your employees. If you believe that you are at a risk of a privacy breach or a privacy complaint by individuals, and you are ready to enhance your privacy posture, I'm more than happy to chat with you and help you figure out what the most cost-effective way to implement privacy within your organization. Cost should never be a barrier to having good practices in place. So happy to help anyone.
I love that answer. And for everyone listening or watching, I can vouch for the awesomeness that is Sharon. She's such a wonderful, awesome human being. So I'm very grateful, A, for your friendship, B, for taking time out of your day to be on the podcast and to chat with me. Truly appreciate it, Sharon. Thanks again.
Thank you so much for the invite. Thank you.
I really enjoyed that conversation. It's not just because Christian wasn't there. I genuinely enjoy Sharon's infectious energy. She is a wonderful and just brilliant person to chat with. I'm really hoping that all the viewers and listeners really enjoyed the engaging conversation and just all of the wonderful insight that she gave in the world of privacy. I want to thank everyone again for taking time out of their busy day to spend time with us, whether you listened or you were viewing us on YouTube. Please make sure to check out other awesome podcasts from the Conversations That Matter family on the Conversations That Matter YouTube page. And until next week, be well and be safe, and we'll see you on the next edition of the Cybersecurity Matters podcast.